Are you dreaming of a close-knit community for your homeschool next year? Do you long to find connections with others who want to grow together in faith? Do you feel a pull to start something new in your area but don't know how to begin? If you're ready to step into your calling as a servant leader but need some help in getting some momentum, then stay tuned for all the steps that will help you be successful. In today's podcast, we're going to give you all the steps that you will need to take in order to start a successful homeschool community. Keep listening and get your paper ready to take some notes. Welcome to Lead Your Homeschool Co-op. Do you desire a Christian community with families that fit? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling conflict resolution and how to build a community? Do you dream of a sustainable homeschool group only to feel discouraged when policies fail, logistics get in the way, or a conflict comes up again?
Hello! We are the Homeschool Community Builders. Together, we have more than 30 years of experience in leading successful homeschool groups. But at one time, we too were in co-ops that did not work for our families. We needed deep relationships and a community that would help our families grow in faith. In order to be a part of a sustainable Christian community, we stepped out in faith and trusted God's plan to build the community that we desired.
In this podcast, we will help you create Christ-centered policies, establish a close-knit culture, and develop strong leadership skills so that you can serve your community well. So grab a pen and paper, be ready to take some notes, and be encouraged. You can do this. Friends, if you listen to this podcast today and would like some additional help in getting started, then please click the link in the show notes. We would love to offer you a free coaching call, but time is limited to take us up on this offer. We still have 2 spots left and we really want to help you. So click on the link in the show notes and get connected with us.
What time of year is it, you guys? When we hit February and March, what do we start thinking about?
Planning.
Next year. That's right. This is like, I think, one of the hardest times of year, because you get to this point where you're like, oh, I'm ready to be done with this year. But then you have to start thinking about next year if you want to set yourself up for a successful year next year. So we would like to encourage anybody who is listening to, if you really want to have something different for next year, you want to start a community, start thinking about it now. Don't do what we did our first year and wait until the month of May to get going, because boy, were we scrambling all summer to get it going. But if you start now, you should have time to do something and have time to do it well. So we're going to kind of go through these steps and make sure you take notes. We are also going to link a bunch of episodes in the bottom of our show notes so that what we don't cover in depth, that you can go back and listen to those episodes. So the first thing to do, it's always pray. I think this could go in front of every single step that we have on this list. Number one, pray and ask God to help you. But what you're asking for help with is finding your people that will build your leadership team. You don't want to do this alone. You want to find other people to be on your team. And in order to do that, you want to really be able to define what your vision is for your new community that you would like to see. What that entails is knowing your pillars, knowing what the non-negotiable aspects of your community are going to be. Knowing your educational philosophy. Do you want a Charlotte Mason community? Do you want a classical community? Do you want a traditional community? Do you want a elective only community? So you have to know what is your philosophy that you're going to build on, and your values. Your values are going to influence your pillars and probably your educational philosophy as well. So with these things, you need to then take and define your mission statement. And this can be maybe worked out in the group once you find your people. But in order to find the people that are like you, you're going to need to know what your mission is. So it's kind of the chicken and the egg scenario. You know, which one comes first? If you have a pretty clear vision, you can find your people and then you can refine your vision. And then lastly, in building this leadership team, you want to know what your legal structure is going to be. Are you going to be a 501c3? Are you going to be an all-volunteer co-op? Hannah, didn't you say there's another kind of structure, 501c or something like that? Don't quote me on that. But you really need to know how you're going to structure or what you're going to do maybe down the road so that it's good to start thinking about that from the beginning.
Well, because you don't want to make big changes midway from having all volunteers to having employees, or you want to know that up front. Not that you can't make changes, but you don't want to scramble later because you didn't know what you didn't know. So it's worthwhile to do some research into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a 501c7 is what it is.
501c7. Uh-huh. Okay.
It's for pleasure, recreation, and other non-profitable purposes. But I wanted to add a couple of things to what you were saying, Molly, going back to starting in prayer. I would also add, be in the word, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you through his word. Be in prayer and be in the word so that you can get that feedback from the Holy Spirit, because you don't want to move forward without that feedback. And I know sometimes it's hard to know whether or not it's coming from him, but that will help.
Well, and that's where it's helpful to have a team, because when there's cohesiveness within the people in your leadership team, then, okay.
Confirmation.
Yes, this is confirmation. We're moving in the right direction versus someone just going off and doing what they feel is right, but maybe not getting confirmation for that.
And then trusting those people that are coming alongside you, if they are telling you, hey, I have a little yellow light on that or a big red light on that, to listen to that, because God has brought that person to walk alongside you to maybe give you some insight that you might not have. So listen to the people that God is bringing to serve alongside you. The other thing I wanted to mention too is, Molly, you said you're looking for people that are like you. And I think sometimes when we think of ourselves as servant leaders, we think about other people that are not like us, that we're going to serve. But you want to find the people that are like you, because they will share in the same vision as you. They will be wanting to have the same mission as you. And it's going to be so much easier to find people like you and go down that same, share that vision, than try to get people to buy into your vision, if that makes sense.
And this isn't to say you want all people who are great administrators, or all people who are full of fun, or all people that are whatever, you know, not personality necessarily that are like you, but vision like you, right?
Although I do want all the people that are all about fun. So.
And how well Molly's would that go for you?
We would have fun and we would get nothing done. That would be our mission statement, to have fun and get nothing done.
Which would completely change how your community is set up.
That's right.
So the next thing, once you have those things defined, the next thing is to advertise. You need to get the word out so that you can find the people who are going to make up your community. Some ways to do that: casting the vision for others. You want to be really clear on this. You do not want ambiguity. If you don't know, be clear. And you'll find out pretty quick in your first info meeting with the kind of questions people have. If you're not clear, then you know what you need to work on before your next info meeting. Have a flyer made. Have people share this at local churches, word of mouth, at the homeschool support groups in your area. Reach out to them. Network. Like, you want to build a bigger community within the homeschool community just by connecting with others that are in your area. And we encourage you to start small. You do not have to start with 100 kids in your program. That might be overwhelming. Maybe you start with a few families and then lead how God wants you to go with this. Mm-hmm. It does not have to be giant to be successful.
That's right.
And then do information meetings. You meet at the library or at someone's home or a coffee shop where you're just explaining more about your vision if people are drawn to what you want to offer, then you can connect on your vision and your values and what you are all working towards with homeschooling your children. Some may not be a good fit, but this is a great place to find out that will be more efficient with your time versus meeting with everyone one-on-one, especially in the beginning when you're spending a lot of time getting some momentum going for your community.
I think, when you meet with a group of people, there's a certain energy that develops within that group of people. They get excited because there's other people that want the same thing too. And even if they don't know each other, or, you know, this is the first time they've met, you get together at an information meeting and it really does build that momentum for you. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it gives you some vision that, hey, I'm not the only person that actually mm-hmm. wants to be in community and is willing to participate in a community, not just drop my kids off there. Like there are people there, and it's super helpful. The other thing I was going to say is, when in the first step, you also want to decide how big do you want to be? Because if you if you really only want a few families in your co-op, that is totally fine. You can do that. You don't even have to do this step and advertise. And let me tell you, if you have one person that loves, is a super fan of your co-op, you won't need to advertise. They'll be out there telling everybody, and they'll all be coming and wanting to find out, what is this person talking about? It'll happen.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, word of mouth is great.
Yeah.
But when you're just getting started, you might not have the mouths to spread the word yet. So
that is true. Yeah. Yep. I agree. So the next step that you need to do is to find a location. That's where that estimate on the size of your co-op comes in. You need to know about how many people you're going to have. So after you do your informational meetings, you should have a rough idea about how many parents and how many students you're going to have in your co-op for the following year. And the way to go about finding is, usually it comes from people within that group. Oftentimes it's somebody who is maybe participating and serving at their church and have connections, and they're able to have a relationship with the pastor, and you might be able to get in that way. You can also, if you have a smaller group, or even if you have a larger group, although it takes more figuring out how it's going to work, is to do it in people's homes. When COVID was happening, we met in homes, and we met at one location, and then we split up and drove our kids to different homes, and we totally did it. It worked. Mm-hmm. It is a little bit of a strain on the person who's hosting. Now you've mm-hmm. got like all these kids in your house, and you know, things can break, things can go wrong. It happens. But if you didn't have a place, that's what you could do. You could use your homes. Closed Christian schools, you could try that. You could check with members. Like I said before, the members in your co-op that are there, do they have other connections? Do they have other locations? They might have access to a nonprofit building or something like that that you guys mm-hmm. could use. So you just have to get creative and trust that God will provide. He's putting this thing together and He will provide. So don't panic. Know it's going to happen. Just walk one step in front of the other and trust that God will give you a place to be. Mm-hmm. And just put the word out. Just pray about it and let people know. There are people out there that want to support you. The church that we're at, they're very mission-minded and they want to support us. They're excited that we're there. You are basically an extension of somebody else's mission. The more that you talk to people, the more that they know, then they can provide a blessing for you.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. We did have to ask a lot of churches before God brought the perfect place to us. But like you said, Pam, the church that we meet at wants us to be there. And it's so great to be in a partnership that way. And it's not, they're so supportive of us because they love homeschoolers and they want to pour into kids and raise them up in the faith. So
that's well, and really I'll say great. We were at a point of transition, and this was during COVID. We were at a church, and that was no longer fitting our needs, what we needed. And so God orchestrated this other church. It was seamless. It was, dare I say, easy. Because this is where God wanted us to be. And it has been a beautiful partnership for the last several years that I am very grateful for. Sometimes there's a little of effort involved, and other times the pieces just fall right into place. And that is lovely.
Mm-hmm. And you feel so loved when you go to a place. We literally had tears in our eyes when we went to our last place. They were, because they were ready to serve us, asking what could they do for us, and we're like, for real, like you want us? And we were like, we feel so loved. It was so great.
That's great.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so the fourth step, after you have found your location, you want to plan your classes and your schedule. This, you know, takes some talking with your team, but always refer back to your mission statement when you are building your schedule. That is your guiding document. And if you are a Christian co-op, then there should be something in your schedule that represents that part of your mission statement. If you are maybe you're just there for science and math classes, then obviously that is you're not going to have elective classes. You're going to have science and math classes. So self-explanatory, but always refer back to your mission statement. And when you are thinking about who can lead your classes, look within your community. You've got these families that are excited to be there. They have gifts, they have talents. Find those parents that want to teach something that they're excited about, and build your schedule around the gifts that God has given you. And then start smaller than you think that you want. It's always better to have people in reserve than to stretch yourself with this grandiose schedule that all the dreams that you have for your co-op, it's all laid out, here it is, and you barely have enough people to meet those things, and then it's stressful. So start smaller than you think you want, and then you can grow. And if you need to grow, it'll be obvious. So if you get packed out and you have more people to do more with, then it'll be obvious that you have that ability. So just don't forget that, because we get excited about our vision and we want to start something. And sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. So
one of the things we say a lot is less is more, right? And the temptation is to try and do it all. But I would challenge to think, what can you do with excellence and with diligence, not just checking off a box to get it done? Because the temptation is to do more. It's the same thing in our own homeschooling with our kids. In August, you know, we have 20 different things that we want to do with our kids.
How has that worked out? Yeah.
And we maybe get to two of them.
Yeah.
It's just how it goes. We're dreamers, right? But we need to be realistic in order for this to go smoothly and for it to be sustainable.
Yeah, that's why it's so important to have a well-balanced leadership team, because I am a person that's like, let's do it all and let's do it big, you know? And so as much as I don't want to hear let's not and say we did or tried or whatever, it's good to have somebody hold your feet on the ground, because when you don't want to be like flying off into outer space, because that's where I would be having a lot of fun, but not getting anything done.
Good advice.
Yes, that is good advice. The next thing on the list is plan your curriculum. So find the books and the resources that support your vision. Now, the warning to this is that there is no one perfect or one size fits all curriculum out there. So don't get caught in looking for the perfect curriculum. Look for something that will meet the needs and the vision of your community and use it as a tool for your group, but don't be a slave to the curriculum that you choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're always looking for the grass is greener on the other side. This will be the curriculum that everybody does.
And everybody's joy.
I don't think it actually exists.
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't. And we've suffered the consequences of this over and over, changing our curriculum, thinking, oh, this isn't working, so we need to change the curriculum. Instead, you got to do what Molly and Hannah were saying. You got to change the way you think about your curriculum and empower your parents, because your parents know how their kids learn. They know what their kids need. Empower them to use the curriculum as a jumping off point so that they can just get the information into the kids the way that they know how. So if it's a heavy reading thing and the kid doesn't read that well, then do it differently. Do it how it works for your family, but don't make curriculum your idol, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. There is no perfect curriculum. It is a tool. It's a tool for the way we train our kids. And rather than look for the perfect book, use the book to do what you want it to do. So rather than what book is perfect, how do we use it? That's where you really need to maybe make the tweaks. If a curriculum wasn't great for a year, well, can we use it a different way, you know, the next year? So, because you can get, this is also a place where people can get stuck and just beat the dead horse. Like, oh, I mean, like you could never end curriculum discussions. Like they could just go on forever and ever.
And it can be quite divisive within your community also.
That's true.
So at a certain point, you just decide and then you do the best you can. Because frankly, that's not the most important thing. And it's not going to be the most critical thing in supporting your community either. But it takes going through that to really understand and see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And if you create that culture from the beginning and create that clarity around curriculum, that you don't have to go exactly the way that this thing says, even like we create syllabi for our community so that they have an idea of what's expected and what to do. You can just check off those boxes. We have a lot of box checkers in our community and we love that. But when there's people who have different learning styles, they really just need to be encouraged and equipped and empowered to be able to use the curriculum how it works best for their family. So.
And do you know what? You don't have to finish the book.
You don't.
You don't have to finish the book.
I didn't know that. No, just kidding. I've never finished a math curriculum in my life. I'm not saying to do that. I am not saying to do that because, yeah, don't make me add anything or my children for that matter. So, but it's not what you know. It's who you know.
That's right.
I know a lot of people that are good at math, so... The next thing is to plan your yearly calendar. And we have a whole episode on this. It's episode 22. It's linked in the show notes below, as well as we talked about the mission statement. It's in the show notes below. Mm-hmm. So you can go back and you can listen. And there's actually two episodes for the mission statement. We really break it down over there for you to help you get a real clear mission statement, because it's so important for your co-op. So check out those episodes. But in order to plan your yearly calendar, and I can't emphasize this enough, if you guys, as you're going along, even if you're just starting, even if you're just figuring this out from the very beginning, because now you know you got to start, you can't wait till May. So you get your feet out of the mud and just put your faith in God and know that you are meant to do this. He's been calling you for a while. You know, I'm talking to you, girl. As you start laying it out and you start figuring out these important dates, you're going to start organizing it so that every year you're not trying to figure it out what you're supposed to be doing. You'll know it's going to be right there. It's a very simple spreadsheet. And you put your important dates on there. You put your breaks, your spring breaks, your holidays, your special days, your get-togethers, your deadlines. And you start getting organized. I can't tell you how important it is as leadership to systemize your co-op. Mm-hmm. And that is just creating tasks in Google Drive or other places. There's all sorts of platforms that can help you stay organized and help you to create systems or task lists that can help you stay organized. And that will take off so much stress off of you and give mm-hmm. you that margin that you need to be able to lead instead of trying to dig yourself out or figure out what's the next fire we're putting out. You don't want to lead like that. You want to lead from the spirit. And when you're scrambling around trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing, you're very distracted from your mission. So plan your yearly calendar.
Yes.
Yeah. The next one is registration. This can be an intimidating process for someone who's just starting out. You want to know what your space limits are. What are your class sizes? What can you handle in your class sizes? If you have 15 kids for third grade, that might be a problem. That might be a lot. You might have to have some class limits on some of your class sizes. Part of that depends on space also. So if you haven't figured out where you are meeting, then you might have more of a challenge with this step. And if you need to cap the classes smaller and then adjust closer to when you start, then that's fine. That's a great place to start. And there's a lot of formats that you can use for registration. So you can do electronic, you can do it through email, you can do Google, paper forms, Jot form, whatever works best for whoever is leading this part in your community. Just have it easy and know that you'll be sharing it multiple times. People will lose the link or lose the paper. Just have something easy to pass along. Mm-hmm. And you may have to remind them of when the due date is, and that's okay, right? You're excited to get this going and people are busy. Keep the lines of communication open. When you're talking about registration, be clear on what is expected. Is payment due with registration? Or do they have any forms they need to sign, a liability form or anything like that? Have that all together in one place so that you're not trying to track down lots of different things yeah. as you go along in this process.
And I would say with your registration form, in order for that registration form to sort of have integrity so that you know that you can depend on those families actually intentionally being there, you should charge something for your mm-hmm. registration. It can vary widely, right? But just that little bit of $50, $100, whatever it is that makes somebody who's registering take another minute. Do I really want to do this or not? You know, if it's free, people are freely going to fill out forms and they might not have a very strong intention. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To commit. Just asking for that money. Don't be afraid to ask for that because that will help people to commit or not.
And make it non-refundable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're not going to refund them, you know, but it will, like, if it really came down to it and something happened and they had to move, okay, maybe you're going to refund their money. But
right.
the intention is that it's non-refundable because you're not going to not show up. You're actually going to come. That's why it's non-refundable. And it's going to go towards your fees, whatever that's going to, the cost of your co-op.
Yes.
Well, exactly. You're looking for a commitment from people because mm-hmm. it takes a lot of work to onboard families, and you're interviewing them, you're spending time with them, getting to know your flow of things, and the mentors or teachers are spending time with them. It's a big investment for everyone mm-hmm. who wants to join the community, and you want to be respectful of everyone's time because no one has time to waste.
Not to mention, it's a nightmare to redo the schedule. If you get your schedule done and then now you've got to figure out who's teaching what because somebody is decided not to come. Yeah, they backed out.
Yeah, that's rough.
The other thing I was going to add is when you're doing this registration process, record it and systemize it so that every year you're not having to remember, how did we do this last year?
Mm-hmm.
Do your registration, go through all of this stuff, systemize it. Mm-hmm. And then when you're done, when you've had your meetings and everything, always do a debrief. Always just take 5 minutes and go, what worked? What didn't work? We had all of these snacks. Nobody ate any of the snacks. Do we need snacks? You know, just each step of the planning. And so that every time that you do it, it just gets so much easier. Yeah. And it doesn't take a lot of effort to do that.
I would agree. I would say as the director, it wasn't until this year that I started a list of what do I do weekly? What do I do every summer? What do I do? What are my processes? Because at some point someone else will have my job, right? Mm-hmm. And I want it to be easier for them, not for them to figure out all the things that I've learned over the last several years. And then it also helps me because then I can go and say, there was something I was supposed to do. Let me go to my list. Oh yeah, that's it. Instead of spending mm-hmm. a lot of time thinking of all the random things that we mm-hmm. maybe only do once a year or twice a year that are not always at the top of mind. So a list system is very beneficial and worth the time investment to create at the beginning.
Yeah.
And the next thing, drum roll, please. This is my favorite part. All of that other stuff, all of the administrative stuff is like not my super favorite thing. But my favorite is meeting together. It's when we get to finally connect with families. So once you got your registration and everybody's like, yeah, we're doing this. Now you get to meet each other. So you get to plan get-togethers with your community. It's kind of tricky. You know how it is when you're going into a new situation. It never feels good when you don't know somebody or at least mm-hmm. have had a connection at some point in time with somebody. So create a connection time for the families before you start school, before yeah. you even do a teacher training. Well, we call it a meet and greet. We'll go to a park. We'll have a barbecue. We'll do like a potluck. We'll get together. We'll play some games. All kids need is like one huge play date and then they can make friends. You know, we as parents, we might need a little bit more time than that.
Yeah.
But even just seeing playing with our kids, you know, if you can do like something where all families can play together or something like that, it's just and parents can get together. You could even do we even do adult get togethers sometimes too to connect mm-hmm. the parents in our group, couples things, but just get together. And then teacher training and the onboard is another way to get together, just to really get your guys' minds focused on the same things. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody knows the mission. Everybody shares in the vision and are ready to start contributing to the culture that you planned from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And you did it all in under a half an hour, you guys. You're amazing.
Yes. With all these things, 8 steps to creating your co-op, expect to grow, expect to change. This is just the first year, right? This is like, okay, God, we are going out there. We're going to follow in your footsteps. We are going to do what you're calling us to do. And then next year, we're probably going to revise some things, but we're not going to reinvent the wheel next year. It's going to be easier next year, you know? And so expect God to help you and pray and seek him as you go through each of these steps. It takes courage. It takes humility. It takes obedience, but the payoff is so worth it. The reward mm-hmm. is there. And yeah, we just want to encourage you that it really is worth it. Though we know that these steps are simple, it can be overwhelming also. And so it doesn't have to be because we are here to help you. We really want to come alongside you wherever you're having issues or you're stuck or you don't know where to go in a direction. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. We have done this. And so if you still feel stuck, jump on a coaching call. There's a link in our show notes to schedule it. And isn't it worth it to give yourself this gift where we can give you tangible strategies to get you unstuck so you can start developing those deep relationships and that wonderful community that you've been dreaming of? You can do this, and we are here for you.
So our Bible verse today is, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Ephesians 2:10.
Hey friend, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with someone who may benefit from it? Or leave us a 5-star written review in Apple Podcasts. It blesses our socks off to know how this podcast is helping you. Also, make sure to connect with us on the Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Facebook page and join the conversation. We'll see you back here next time.